Hello and welcome to another episode of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. We are on episode 102, and I am your host, Joey Dees. Interesting. No nickname. No trying to catch me off guard. I don't know what's going on. To my left, Josh Utley, who looks quite mysterious.
Hey, how's it going?
Villainous, maybe.
We thought you could use a day off. It's been a long summer.
You thought I could use a day off?
Yes.
Is the excuse we're going for right now. Huh? Well, he is of the Omega Games, gamers, and his partner in crime, Sean Epperson, who's just laughing in the background of Think 12 Games. I am worried.
Oh, hey, hey.
I'm wearing his Decepticon hat.
I'm innocent in this Decepticon hat.
Uh-huh.
Laughing in the background of Think 12 Games is what he does all day.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much. That's my job.
Vicky looks like she...
No. I have no idea what's going on. Honestly, I'm like trying to figure it out myself.
She's Vicky B. She's running the boards. We're happy to be back. We were off for 2 weeks. I'm told to look at Josh and tell the lovely Geek Nationals how to get a hold of us, but he looks like he's got other...
I'm going to just go to bjgeeknation.com. You get all the podcast, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more.
More!
You can also search for us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, and Audacy.com.
A-U-D-C-Y. Wait. No.
No. Close.
Dang it.
That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
That's right.
.com. Well, Joe, we just wanted you to expand your horizons a little bit. Would you quickly read us the list of game names we're going to talk about today?
That's why you didn't want me to open the show notes today. Okay. Prepare yourself, people. This is going to get interesting. Maybe a little bumpy. Zulkin?
Perfect.
All right.
Yeah.
Teotihuacan?
Close.
Close, but wrong. But go ahead.
Okay. Trismegistus?
Very close.
Yeah, that was really good.
Tekahinu?
Way off.
Dang it. Tahuanatasuyu.
Ooh, very close.
That was
very,
close,
very, very, very close.
Tibanisui.
Wrong.
Dang it. Tiltum. Tiltum.
Very close.
I thought it was Tiltum, too.
Dang it.
So did I yesterday, but I was corrected. I guess it's Tiltum.
Tiltum.
I like how you had some of the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllables.
Yes, you did.
This is a T-series, apparently.
Sometimes your G's were hard and sometimes they weren't. Wait, what?
You know what? I like to add a little flair sometimes to my G's. You just never know when.
Wow.
I now see why I didn't have a nickname.
I feel like we could definitely just do a whole like YouTube or TikTok series where you guys either try to pronounce all these games and then correctly... show the pronunciation. It'll be a hit.
We would still fail most of the time.
I know. Yeah.
Even with like somebody there telling us and showing us. No, we're going to talk about the T-Series, mainly from Board and Dice, mainly from designers Daniela Tassini and David Turchi.
Yes.
Okay.
That was impressive. Way better than
T-Series.
I did.
The only thing that connects these games, is it the theme?
No.
Is it the mechanics? No. Is it a T at the beginning of the names? Yes.
Yes.
That's what we like.
Wow.
For T-Rex.
But the T-Series is actually remarkable. And I don't even think they actually officially have it as the T-Series. They just like to do this.
Yeah.
It's just a remarkable set of Euro games that are amazingly produced and amazingly designed and are amazingly addictive and engaging. And, well, they're amazing.
I love amazing. It sounds like you may have played some of these games.
A few.
I've played all but two.
Yeah.
The first
actually
one.
Actually played more of these than I have.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shocking.
The first one is arguably the most overproduced, beautiful one, which Sean has and I think's played. I have never played. And it came out in 2012.
Ooh,
that's
step.
Zulkin, the Mayan calendar.
Yeah. Zulkin's really cool. So Zulkin is a worker placement game. And there is a bunch of gears that are on the board, these plastic gears. And as you take turns through the game, those gears turn. So where your people are at, the longer they're on there, the better stuff you get. So you're kind of timing this thing going, well, when do I want to pull this person off to get the best benefit? But at some point, you start having to pull things off. It's a kind of a weighty game. But the cool thing is there's this giant gear that's in the center. And people like to paint this giant gear, and mine's been hand-painted, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's
humble brag.
yeah.
Humble brag.
Mine's hand-painted.
Beautiful.
I see some cool little miniature skulls. Do you have the miniature skulls?
Yes. So those actually come in the game as well. That's actually one of the components in the game. There's corn. There's these skulls. They're like Mayan skulls. So, just a normal production of it is a very pretty game. But if you actually paint that center gear, it's got all these like Mayan symbols and cool little like images and stuff. Like that really pops them out and just makes it just look gorgeous.
Do you know what it reminds me of? The Game of Life spinner that you'd spin with the little thing on it.
Yes. My meeples are going everywhere. Whizz.
I never won the Game of Life very much.
Now, that being a worker placement game with some amazing production quality and the fact that I've never played it makes me sad since Sean's owned it for a long time and has never put it on his table.
We should probably play it sometime.
Yeah, I think we should. And then I should own your copy.
No.
Okay. I'll get my copy, but you loan me your gears.
No.
Oh, for two.
Well, the next one on there is Teotihuacan, City of Gods. Did I get that right? I can't tell you.
I don't think you did.
Ah, darn. So Teotihuacan is about building the Pyramid of the Sun. Each player commands a force of worker dice, and you start out with three dice, and you're working around this pyramid on these spots. And every time you move and do something, you get materials for building tiles, building steps, painting. But every time you move, your dice upgrade. So your pips get more powerful. And the more dice you have on one location, the more stuff you get. And eventually, they rotate all the way back around to one, and you can get another dice or these other bonuses. But by the end of the game, you have this cool pyramid built out of like Mahjong tiles and really decorative, nice tiles. But it's an amazing game, and it plays differently every time because the boards for your worker locations around the pyramid, it's modular. You can run and set that up however you want.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I'm looking at it right now. I would not have guessed you could change those boards.
And side note, if you were curious.
Teotihuacan.
Ah, yes, I am not good at this.
Teotihuacan.
Teotihuacan. That sounds a little Americanized, but I'll take it.
Now I get why you have me pronounce these, so that when I butcher them.
Yes. We never said we were better than you.
No, that is fair.
Well, they just want to make fun of you.
They're not liars. They're just good at setting me up.
The next one I've actually not played because the rule book makes my brain hurt. It's Trismegistus, the ultimate formula. This is about alchemy and brewing potions and a lot of trying to turn lead into gold. And I've tried to read this rule book when I was tired, and don't ever do that. This is it's one of the games that tries to use its own terminology for things,
yeah,
which is really cool when you know it, but you got to get to know it. So it's definitely a higher level one, but I am looking forward to playing it. BJ has it. We will play it. It will be amazing.
Well, it's a weighty game, too. Like on BGG, it's got over a 4, which is like that's on the high end of heavy, heavy games.
I don't think BJ is going to turn a lot of lead to gold. I'm just going to put that out there now. not to.
He turns gold to lead.
Yeah, there you go. Just kidding, BJ. We love you.
The next one is actually my favorite of the series because I love Egypt. This is Tekanu, Obelisk of the Sun. And in this game, you're building the great palaces to the gods. And there's this obelisk, and you put dice around it. And based on the color of the dice and which side of the obelisk it's on, whether it's on the light side, the shaded side, or the dark side, changes whether the dice are even available to you, whether they're powerful, whether they can be good for this or that. And that rotates constantly, so you only take a total of 16 turns in this whole game. But it's still, which you think, you're going in, you're like, that's not enough time. I can't play a game in that amount of time. But it's such a good game. Everything is so well designed. A buddy of ours, the day Sean and I learned it, the iconography was so good in that game, he just guessed everything.
Really?
As I was reading, he's like, does this mean this? I'm like, that's exactly what that means. Does this mean this? And when you look at it, you're standing up, standing back looking at it, you're going to be like, I'll never get this game. It's way too complicated. But once you break it down into its parts, it's a phenomenal game.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I build a temple to the elephant god?
No.
No.
I do not believe there's an Egyptian elephant god.
And just when I thought you had me.
But you can build pillars, and you can take stuff from people, and there's a lot of bread, and yeah, it's a great game.
I like bread. Yeah. You had me at bread.
The next one is another... the next one is Tawana Tinsuyu, The Incan Empire. Mm. Did I get that one right?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know that one.
Well, I didn't know if Siri knew.
Well, this is what the internet says.
Tawana Tinsuyu.
I don't think that's right. Damn you, internet. That's pretty funny.
So yeah. Close.
Curse you, Bill Gates.
I'm going to say that you were right.
Yay, I'll take it. That's a win for me. Sorry, Joe.
Womp, womp.
So in Tawana Tinsuyu, you are in the Incan Empire, and you're working on the pyramid, the temple that's on these plateaus. You have five levels to the temple. And on the top, you have a priest. And in this game, it's unique that it's a worker placement game. But once your workers are out, they stay there the whole game.
Oh.
You never get them back. You get more. But you have to, it's a little spatial in when you place your workers, it depends on which side of the pyramid you're on compared to your priest at the top of the pyramid. And then how far down. So you could be paying more potatoes, because potatoes is a resource that's not in a lot of games, but hey, this one has potatoes. But where you place your worker, depending on if it's adjacent to another worker of the same type, you get more actions. And there's other ways, depending on the color of worker. So again, another thinky game, but when you break it down into its parts, not that complicated.
Yeah, because your meeples don't move.
Yeah, if we had to pick up our meeples on this one, it would be crazy.
It looks cool when you get done, too, because like you've got this board that's just filled with all these different colored meeples.
Yeah, it looks like you built a whole village.
The downside to this, and this is probably why Sean loves it, is once a spot is blocked, it is blocked forever.
Yes.
And, of course, it has red meeples that assassinate other people's meeples.
Yeah.
So, once again, why Sean loves this game.
Yeah, so while people are trying to farm corn and potatoes, Sean is trying to murder you.
Yes, that is exactly pretty much the game.
So some meeples do move in the sense that they move off the board.
Yes.
They move to the afterlife.
But this one has this, the meeples are also the countdown in how long this game plays. As the worker pool empties out, that's your timer for how long you have to play this game, and then eventually game over. And hopefully you were on the right tracks and have all the points.
Yeah, this game's interesting. This one actually looks like a bunch of fun to me because, to your point, when they don't move and stuff like that, you kind of know what you're doing. So you're building upon, you know, a base level of something. Like, I'm getting one corn, then two potatoes, then one corn and two potatoes.
Well, it would be nice if that were true. But see, your one meeple at the very top of the pyramid does move around, which changes all those counts for where you could put people and how much it costs to put people down.
But I still get the potatoes, right?
Yes, you still get potatoes.
That's all I needed to know. Look, one meeple's allowed to move. He could be the king. Because I'm essentially the king of Potato Town.
Potato!
Potato Town.
Well, the next one is Tabanusi, the Builders of Ur. And we travel to the Mesopotamia Fertile Crescent for the great city of Ur.
In this, I don't know.
I'm guessing, too. It could be totally something else, but it's UR, so I'm going with Ur.
I am Ur.
In this one, you're focusing on building just the buildings, the town aspect. And you want to group your buildings together, but there's strict building rules based on these districts. And so, like, if you have, you basically get deeds, in a sense, and you want to build so many buildings here, but it can't be adjacent to other buildings of the same color. And then you eventually actually build the buildings, and then there's plastic, and it's a huge toy factor. By the time you're done, you actually have this pretty cool-looking city. It's really similar to Santorini in that aspect. By the time you're done, you do have this beautiful city with these cool colors everywhere.
Yeah.
This looks complicated.
It looks complicated, and I'll tell you, I would say it's the hardest one to teach because everything plays into everything else, so it's hard to get a flow going to have a good teach. I've had trouble teaching it every time, but once we get through my stumbling, it tends to smooth out really fast. One cool thing about this game is you collect dice. They're resources, but if you don't spend them and that dice pool runs out, everybody loses those dice because it jumps to scoring and you have to give them all back.
Huh, that's interesting.
So you can't hold on to those resources forever. Or if you're like somebody who sees that somebody's waiting to do a specific thing and purposely takes dice they don't need just to trigger scoring, Sean.
Oh, hey, you got a bunch of dice over there. Let's do scoring right now.
But you don't need to score. No, you know what? But why not?
Sean, you scored 2 off that. Yeah, but you lost all those dice.
Which is like his winning.
Exactly. Your loss is my win.
That is a really fun one. That one is out. All of these are available at your local game stores or on Amazon or at boardanddice.com. The last one, the newest one, it's not even out yet. I can't really tell you too much about it, is Tillitum. And that is coming, what did I call it?
You call it Tillitum. It's Tiletum. It's not, but don't quote me.
All I know about this game is it's a resource game in the Renaissance. Use dice for resources and actions to gain you riches in the Renaissance. So I would say look for that one, and you tell me. How does it play?
With all these tea games, I mean, I'm going to have to find my friend, Tom, for his birthday and tell him that, hey, Tom, I got you a tea game based off of a recommendation from my trolley board game friends who tried to get me to pronounce the names of these games. I'm sure he'll love it.
Yep.
Well, again, most of these games in the T series are the easy way is go to boardanddice.com. That's where most of these games come from.
Yeah.
And, try to pronounce them.
Or play them, whatever you want to do.
Just having the names of these games can be a party game. All right, guys, whoever can pronounce this doesn't have to drink.
Yes, there you go.
I'd just be like, no, I'm not even going to try. Let me just drink.
Just nope, shot. Nope, shot. Well, moving on from games that you can buy to games that you will be able to back, we're going to get to some crowdfunding with Sean.
Hey, everybody. So the first one we'd like to talk about, we're going to talk about a couple of Kickstarter games here. The first one is called Quad Heroes. This is the second edition. Now, this is a game that Josh and I both have. We have the first edition game. What they've done with the second edition is they've streamlined some rules a little bit. And the game has gone from being played on a bunch of boards to being played within a book. So if anybody has played like the games from Plaid Hat where all your stories are in this ringed binder and you're turning pages and those are the new player boards instead of these big chunky boards that take up a lot of room. So they've got more content for you with less space so they can have a smaller box, which is pretty cool. The other thing that's really, really cool about this, I'm really excited about, is the first edition came with these minis. And the game is basically, you have these minis that are cubes. And your cube is basically a sentient creature. And it's rolling over, and whatever side is facing up, that's the action you get to do. And so they've got different actions on them. And I've got the minis. They're cool looking. But, of course, I can't paint my way out of a wet paper sack, so mine are all gray. These come pre-painted, and holy cow, they're gorgeous. They're just phenomenal looking.
I did not know about this. Sean, you want my old copy? I need to buy now.
I want the second edition now. So the second edition is going to be a little bit more pricier. The backing levels for this, the normal pledge is $50, which is about $39 U.S., now, you won't get the minis with that. What they've done to make it a little more affordable is the cubes are kind of like dice. So they're screen printed, so they'll still have all the faces and all that and still look cool, but they just won't be like a mini piece. So it still looks really nice, though. If you want all the minis and all that, then you're going to need the bigger box, which is you'll want the deluxe edition, and that one's going to run you about $119 US. But that gets you like tons of minis and all the upgraded pieces and these special pets and
120 is not bad for pre-painted minis.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting a lot of pre-painted minis in this, too. So, you know, for what you're getting, it's actually a really good, you know, price. And it plays up to six people, which is really cool. This is about 20 minutes per person. Josh, when we played, what did you think?
I really liked it. It was hard to see at the time because you didn't paint your minis and it's all your fault.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was anxious to get it back, and them streamlining a few rules, I think it's a very good thing to do because we had a couple confusing parts we were trying to figure out. So I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. So this ends on Friday, August 12th. They're at the time of our recording, they're at 77K of 109K. So I hope they reach that spot. So definitely go and check this out.
One thing I found about second editions is that when you're building a rule book, as I'm sure you guys know, you just can't get that thing perfect. It's so hard.
It's rough, yeah. And if anyone actually has this, they do have an upgrade option that you can back for. So you can get like different stuff and the upgraded rule books and all that kind of thing to kind of improve what you had before. So they thought about the people that had backed, said, hey, you know, we're going to have to leave you out, guys, out in the wind. We're going to give you an option to be able to get the new hotness. So I think it's really cool.
That's some great customer service right there.
Yeah, for sure. Next up is Star Realms. Now, I think a lot of people have played Star Realms. Like, this is a very well-known game, not only just as a deck-building, space-themed card game, but you can also get it on your favorite mobile device and play people that way. I've got it on my mobile, and I literally play. There's a couple people I play, and I play every single day.
Wow.
So I've played every single day. So, yeah, I've played Star Realms a lot. This is called Rise of Empire. Now, Rise of Empire, what they're doing is they're making this into a legacy game. So you're going to be playing over a set of 13 games, and your ships are going to be growing, expanding, and you're going to get like different options. You'll have stickers that you can add to stuff and changing things up. So if you like Star Realms, this is really going to add all kinds of cool stuff to it. And one thing I thought was really interesting with this is there's two different backing levels that you can get. There's the Legacy tier, which is 59. Now, Legacy being once you get done, you'll still be able to play, but all the changes and stuff that you've made are permanent.
Okay.
So there's no kind of resetting, right? If you want to back for the Infinite Replay tier, that is 79, and that is resettable. So what they're going to do is give you pieces that basically let you set it back to its original setting and like, okay, now let's go through the campaign again. And a 13-game campaign isn't really all that much. So that's like something that's doable and reasonable. A lot of people seem to like this because as of recording, it's at 358,000 of their 20,000 goal with well over 4,000 backers.
I was going to say, I have a feeling there's going to be no problem raising that money.
Yeah, they're crushing it. So this is one, like, if you like deck building games, Star Realms is super, super easy to play. And, you know, you can just go out and pick it up right now and see if you like Star Realms, the game, off your mobile device. And if you like it, yeah, definitely get in back this because this is going to be awesome. This ends on Thursday, August 11th. Now we're going to move off to the games of GameFound. So GameFound, if you don't know, is another platforming option for people that maybe don't use Kickstarter. GameFound does things a little bit differently, but you know, it's a way to check out new games. So there's a really cool game that is a 20th anniversary edition called Amunre. This is actually by Alley Cat Games, and this is a Rainer Knizia classic. Rainer Knizia's, I think he's designed about 1 million games as of now. Amunre is like a classic that a lot of people know. The original version of Amunre looks a little dated and not all that great. This, however, woo, holy cow. Man, they are just going for the end zone on this. It looks absolutely gorgeous. Just tons of really cool cards. The art on it's phenomenal. They have a couple new expansions that the previous game didn't have, which are these statue expansions. The statues are, of course, minis, and yes, you know, just add to the whole table presence of the game. This is a fantastic looking game. It's a 2 to 5 player game, plays in about 60 to 90 minutes. It's probably not like a new game that you'd want to play as far as like, I haven't played games very much, but it's not super heavy and super weighty. There's a lot of like player auctions and a lot of player interaction. So if that's something you like, this game really has it in spades. Really, really cool game. The base version is $55. And if you go for the expanded, it's 72. The expanded is where you get the statues and all the other cool stuff added in. You know, the resources that are like plastic pieces. There's pyramids that you'll put out. Just phenomenal looking. Gosh, this is so good. I can't believe it. What a fantastic job they've done. And Alley Cat always does really good stuff. So this is a company I would also recommend. I've played a lot of their games. This is currently at about 88,000. Of their 12,000 goals, so they're crushing it, and all kinds of stretch goals are getting unlocked. Over 1,300 backers, and this will be ending on July 26th.
Josh, how did we give Sean all the easy names?
We drew straws.
Oh. And we both drew the short straw? Man, that's tough.
Yes.
This last one is, this is really interesting. So let me tell you about the game first. The game is called Nexus Arena Combat System by D-Verse Publishing. Now, this is a kind of a big box, we're going to battle it out, arena combat, you know, rolling dice and hitting each other with big weapons and all that kind of stuff, dudes on a map kind of game, right? This is really bloody game, so this is more like, a little more adult-oriented, not as far as like, there's no nudity or anything, but it's just the gore factor as far as like blood on cards and...
Do you want to say the name of the backer level?
Why don't you?
Wow.
Or maybe not.
Let's just say there's money involved.
Yes.
Yes. We won't say the name. Go check out Nexus Arena Combat System on GameFound, and you can see. But the really interesting thing about this is their goal was $1,000.
Really?
Which is weird. So when I saw this, I'm like, that seems a little sketchy. Like, how? There's no way you can make this game. They've got a ton of really huge minis in this game. Lots of really cool components, like fantastic looking art. And the gameplay looks really cool. Plays in about 60 minutes, 2 to 4 players. The pieces that go around the board that you like seat all your stuff in has magnets. Ooh. So the magnets all like kind of snap together and it keeps the whole board together. So you don't have things like moving around and all that kind of stuff. They put a lot of production into this. How the hell are they making this for $1,000? That's insanity. Something's up, right? So as I'm reading through this and trying to do some research on it, apparently the person from D-Verse, the main guy, actually put his money in and printed copies, like the minimum print run, to have the game made. He's actually have the game's going to be to him probably in like a month or so. It's already like done in manufacturing. He's just getting it shipped over.
Wow.
So it's there. It's almost ready. And he's like, this is going to go out in Q4. So when people back this, you'll have it this year, which is crazy. Like that doesn't happen on Kickstarter. You back a game and you're like, okay, I'll have it in a couple of years, right? You'll have it this year. So that's why their funding goal was $1,000. So the reason why they're putting this up on crowdfunding, if he's already made it, like, what are you doing? What he's trying to do is print enough copies. They're going to do a second reprint. And what they're going to do is try and get that into stores and get it into distribution and stuff like that. So it means anybody that backs it, you get your copy now. And then all the extra copies that they print, that's what they'll be trying to go stores with and all that.
Oh, I kind of like that idea, actually. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously...
He put his money in it.
Like, yes, yeah, you have to have money.
And he put a lot of money in it. There's no way he got away with this, like, very inexpensively. Like, he put a lot of money into this. And apparently he's been working on it for 5 years, and he's taken it to all the cons. A lot of the big names in gaming have, like, put quotes out about it, and they're praising it, saying it's a really, really good game. So definitely check this out. The current backing level is they're at 32,000. But it's ending on September 16th. So he's not pressed for time because he's already got the games, right? So he wants it ending about the same time that he'll have them so we can start sending them out pretty much after he gets them. So definitely check that one out. Nexus Arena Combat System. I mean, high praise to this guy. He's put a lot of thought into this. There's some pictures that show the game sitting inside of a Kallax. Like, this is what it will look inside your Kallax shelf and, you know, how much space it takes up. So you know, they've done all their homework, and so I applaud them on that. They should be awarded for that. So, no joke, check it out. This game looks phenomenal. Nexus Arena Combat System.
Nice. That's awesome. Before we get out of here, I would like to give the man to my left a special birthday shout out, because as of this recording right now, it is his birthday, Josh.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Let's make it uncomfortable.
When do we do the spanking?
Well,
on your own time, far, far away from us.
I don't think we need to record that. Just check Facebook. Josh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Are you excited?
I exist.
You exist to eat the lovely cupcakes I brought.
Well, cake is delicious.
Yes.
And if that's the case, I need more cake, and my birthday's every day.
Okay. I like this plan.
Yeah. Good plan. I like it.
Well, thank you once again for joining us, Geek Nationals. It has been a great time serving you up some board games in the T series, some great crowdfunding projects coming to us soon, and of course, the birthday man, Josh. Take us out of here.
Well, everybody, just remember to play tastefully, use teamwork, be terrific, and have some tranquility gameplay.
Oh.